This is Exploring the Marketplace Podcast. I'm Sean Bowles.
And I'm Bob Hassan. And together, we're inviting you into conversation about what God is doing with entrepreneurs, influencers, and everyday career fields.
Get a fresh perspective with our commentary and stay for the main chorus from our handpicked guests who are vulnerable, transparent, and sharing how their faith affects their career in powerful ways.
If a picture's worth a thousand words, then their life story's worth a thousand sermons. Here we go. Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. I'm Bob Hassan with my great friend, Sean Bowles. Sean, what are we doing on the show today?
Well, Bob, today on the show, we're going to talk about what happens when God gives us the direction to go and it feels against the flow of everyone else.
Oh.
There's so many people in the workforce, you know this, who are Christians, who are following their faith journey and biblical convictions, but it's an upstream battle for sure. But what happens when this pays off and God brings unlikely breakthroughs that only happen when we follow him? So we're going to talk about this because this happens and people talk about how they're paying a price, but they don't see the reward at the end a lot. I know you've had people talk about that too. Like, why am I doing this? Why am I following it? It's so much easier for everybody else. Like, I wish I could do it their way. So we're going to talk about that. Then we have a very special guest, Ken Caldwell, who's the director of He Gets Us, which is the CEO of Come Near, an organization that runs He Gets Us. I know you've seen it too, Bob, right? He Gets Us, like at the beginning of the Super Bowl or like at the Olympics or one of the events. And it's such an outside-the-box organization that's bringing the message of Jesus to people who may have never heard about him any other way. And you might know them from all these ways that they brought him, and they're learning. And it's beautiful to see guerrilla campaign for Jesus that no one's ever done before. And I want to talk to them about why and how they're doing this.
It's amazing because it's so disruptive. You're like, wait, what is this? It's Jesus. It's so cool on these big events. Well, Sean, we always talk about listener feedback, and listeners and viewers, we need your feedback. We've taken this show in season four and we've tweaked it a little bit and we've done some different things, and we'd love to hear, what do you like? What do you think we should tweak some more? What should we do more of, do less of? We crave your feedback, and we always love it when you come to us. You can go to info@bowlesministries.com and leave a comment for us.
Yeah, or you can leave a comment on any of our YouTube videos and also a review on our podcast. You can leave a comment there about what you're loving. I do want to say this, Bob. I just got this box sent to me, and I won't show my address. This box was sent to me by one of our listeners and viewers, and she wrote this incredible note, which I'm not going to do the whole note. I'm sorry, Jenna. I can't do the whole note. But Jenna is in her 20s, and she felt like she was supposed to start a business, and so she started an apparel line in Malibu about what God wants to do in California, which is – we need God to move in California. You're in California. And it's called Malibu Made. And so this is one of the hats. And she just sent it to me. And it's just, it's really high quality. Like, I can feel it. And she just said, can you pray over it? And, you know, it just means something to you. Just give me a shout out. Well, we're giving you a shout out, Jenna, that you're starting this company, Malibu Made. And I hope people will go and support you. I think it's amazing. And we love hearing what you guys are starting.
So, Lord, we pray for Malibu Made and Jenna, and we ask God that your hand would be on this company, Lord, and that it would just blow up and that you give her supernatural strategy. Amen.
Yes, God. Well, we're on to real topics, Bob, and we don't have a whole lot of time to talk about this because I want to really hear from Ken. But we're diving into this topic that I think we can just make some power statements on. And it resonates with so many of us who are Christians, who are in the workforce. And when God gives you a direction that feels totally against the flow and the grain of everybody else, and when we're following our biblical convictions on God's voice, and we often, it feels like an upstream battle, but we obviously have to stay true to God's direction, even when it seems counterintuitive, when it seems unpopular. I'm doing it on YouTube as a social commentator where they tell you they're going to penalize you if you go after politics that aren't in the mainstream of what they're flowing in, or religion, and I'm still doing it. I get penalized all the time for doing it. My videos get demonetized, so I understand. But, you know, if we don't do this, we don't get the breakthrough that God promises. If we don't follow him, we don't get that breakthrough. So let's explore these moments when divine interventions occur if we trust God. Like, let's talk about that, whether it's in business or career moves or personal life or choices. When we're going against the grain, what do you think about this?
Well, Sean, we wrote Wired to Hear about the different ways we hear God. And in that book, I talked about, you know, simply for me personally, when it doesn't make any sense, I know it's God telling me to do something.
Yeah.
And there's been so many times in my life when it's counterintuitive in my business to make statements or take a direction that does not make sense in the world's ways. But I feel like, okay, well, this is the way we're going to go. And sometimes my team, who at times they're not believers, they're like, what are we going to do? I'm like, well, I just have to tell you, this is what I think God told me, and this is what we're going to do. And they watch, and then 99% of the time when I've done that, God comes through, and they scratch their head and say, that's weird.
Well, and I think there's those examples that you don't get until you do it. And then when you do it, you start to get the fruit of it. Like, you have to like actually go after it. And I think of one of the before and after stories that we had here on Exploring the Marketplace was Eric Knott.
Yeah.
So during the COVID time, the coronavirus time, there's a shutdown. He didn't let go any of his employees, and he ran an online ticketing event agency. And so they had to shut down everything. Like, they were losing their money. They had to, a lot of their money was in escrow. They didn't have the money to pay everybody. They were just having such a hard time. And yet they followed God and didn't fire anybody. And they actually, God gave them a strategy to reinvent themselves as they prayed and they fasted as a company. And some of their employees weren't believers. And so I think, like, the fact that they went after it and then God gave them a new strategy, which does far better than their original strategy, and is, you know, in the space that they're in, they're dominating, where they even got the company culture awards in the Bay Area for their company culture. Like, who gets that as Christians for their company culture and is recognized by the mainstream world in a market like that? And I just think, like, I look at those stories and I go, you know, it's possible to go against the grain and still expect that God will reward you for doing so. I don't think we're always supposed to be persecuted or hard pressed. That's not our main story. Those are the price we pay. And then the main story is God's blessing, in my opinion.
Yeah. And, you know, this comes to my life scripture, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your paths. I mean, I've lived this my entire life because I just am in partnership with him. And so many times things don't make sense, or I'm so stressed out, I have to just keep coming back to the scripture and actually put whatever situation I'm worried about, trust in the Lord with, and, you know, insert situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this. When I moved to LA, you know, so many years ago, 2006, and I was starting all the stuff I was starting there, I was very resisted by other Christians who were saying, why would you move to LA? It's like the armpit of the world. Like, it's Satan's playground kind of thing, almost like they'd given it over to the devil. And it's a place where God really loves the people there. And it's one of my favorite places on earth. And I remember I got Romans 12 too. And that was by Christians who were actually like, I was going up against the upstream of Christians. You know, it wasn't just the world. Sometimes it's other Christians. And Romans 12, too, I remember praying this over and over. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, perfect will. And I had to, like, literally renew my mind, and I had to not conform to what other people were telling me was right. But I had to, like, look at God and be justified by my own faith. And I think that's the key. It's just, you know, listen to God for yourself. When you get to heaven, he's not going to say, did you listen to that pastor, that person? Did you listen to that other, you know, like, when it comes to you making decisions as an adult for yourself, or did you listen to my heart and did you follow my love?
That's so good. Well, Sean, I guess we better skip over the question of the week and just get right into the interview. Tell us about Ken.
Well, Ken's career spans leadership in a blue chip food service and CPG brands, which some of you guys would know some of this stuff that he was involved with, because he was like Pizza Hut and Papa Murphy's Pizza. And he was then in the nonprofit sector as well. And now as CEO of Come Near, which you would recognize from the He Gets Us campaign, which most of us would have heard of that, whether it's in the controversies or the excitement of it. He's leading a team focused on sharing Jesus' story in a thought-provoking way. I mean, it's incredible what they've been able to accomplish in 3 short years. And with 28 years of experience, Ken has proven, you know, in his track record in delivering sales and margins and profitability, and his expertise includes all kinds of stuff like product development and organizational restructuring and managing. He's now turned this into how can I serve this organization to reach people who may never hear about Jesus in their entire life, but now they're at like a ball game, or they're in the Olympics, they're watching the Olympics, and they're seeing something that causes them to take one step forward towards Jesus. And he's doing a phenomenal job.
That's so amazing. I mean, I love to watch sports, and so I've been seeing these ads, and they're so disruptive. And he talks about going after skeptics. And, like, I love the fact that they're doing that.
Yeah, and he's going to share why they're doing it. And so if you've never heard about the people behind the company, this is your chance to hear their heart. So up next, we have Ken Caldwell.
I want to invite you to partner with us to spread the gospel around the world. And we're doing this through our TV shows and our podcasts, our social media. We're helping Christians navigate culture with a biblical worldview of what God's doing right now in society, news, entertainment, the church, through the Sean Bowles Show, which is our weekly commentary show on podcasts. We're building courage with our ministry audience for their calling and their careers through Exploring the Marketplace, which is a CBN news show and a podcast. and we're helping thousands to grow spiritually in their connection to Christ and training them to hear God's voice. And we're activating them in their gifts and helping them to have coaching tools for their inner development through Spiritual Growth Academy Online. On top of this, I get to minister around the world with Sound Biblical Truth on Prophetic Edge through YouTube all week long. And we have Sunday services even with YouTube. And we have weekly videos. And this doesn't even touch other social media that we do. I, of course, do a lot of ministry with TBN, and I host a lot of different media outside of what we're doing in our ministry. But we want to have you come help us. We want to invite you to help us expand our reach. And we are on testimony overload of the goodness of God, changing people's lives through the impact that we're having as a ministry. But we need you to help us create this media, this ministry. You can be a part of our team and our family. And we get to pray for you when you do this. We pray for our partners weekly. We get to resource you. We send you regular resources, both in the mail, but also online, because we want you to be equipped and reinforced. And we also have monthly partner meetings where you get to connect with me and our Bulls team online live, so you can feel the synergy of what God's doing and let it energize your life, as well as we get to pray for you live every month. And if you can't come live, you're still going to watch the video and get the prayer, because we take whatever God's doing in our ministry and we impart it to you so you can have the benefit. But become a partner today so our fruit becomes your fruit.
Welcome back to Exploring the Marketplace. We're here with Ken Caldwell. And Ken, I'm so glad we get to hear your story, because we've heard it personally, but our audience gets to hear it. And there's so many just elements of who you are that I love that you're on the earth right now. I'm just so glad you're here, but welcome.
Well, thank you. Thanks for the invitation.
Oh, we would love to know what influenced your early faith and work ethic in your life.
Well, I definitely have to say my father. Grew up in a small town in Kansas, and probably like a lot of kids, in age of 12 or so, I started to, you know, like cars, and I wanted to get a car someday, not when I was 12, but someday. And so I told my father about that, and the family we grew up in, my dad's, one of his core values was work, was working hard and earning what you needed for what you needed. And so he just said, well, you know, a car's not going to come as a gift. If you want one, then you need to earn the money for it. And I had worked for my dad for years already, just around the house. And he had very high standards about the way he did things. And so he just said, hey, there's other people in this neighborhood who need their lawns mowed as well. And I've trained you how to do that. And he just kind of gave me these basic principles. And he said, you know, you just need to go, you know, get up, walk down the street, knock on a door. When they come to the door, introduce yourself, tell them who you are, and say, ask them if they need anything. And whatever they need, if it's mowing the lawn, whatever, you know how to do that. Do it to the standards that you did it for me. And then when they're not looking, do something else for them that they need. Look for something else they need. Maybe it's edging the yard or sweeping up, or it's taking the bags out, or whatever it happens to be. But do something they didn't expect. And then when you're done, go back to the door, ask them to come inspect your work. And if they choose to pay you for it, then great, thank them for that. And that's it. And I did exactly that. I went two doors down, knocked on a woman's door. She came to the door, and I followed exactly dad's questions. Probably, I think I wrote them down, to be honest with you. So I think I actually was reading off of a script to that first house, and did exactly what my dad said, mowed the yard to my dad's standards, saw that some edging needed to be done. She didn't ask for that, but I did that as well. And she paid me, and sure enough, about 3 weeks later, she had somebody sitting outside watching me mow her yard. And he came up to me afterwards and said, hey, I saw how you did this yard. Would you do mine? And then found out he knew some folks in a medical office and a doctor, and recommended me to them. And one thing led to another. And it was only about 6 years later, 5.5 years later, that I had over 60 clients, and with no advertising. And so, but Dad had taught me Dad had taught me really a love for people, a love for serving people, and hard work, and just doing things to the standards that he had taught me. And
that's so amazing. That's so amazing, Ken. That's great.
No, I love that. And that actually was one of the foundations for when you got into the next part of your career, which I think is really phenomenal, because you were kind of responsible for many late night game night pizza nights that we had at our household because of some of the marketing that you did. Now, talk about going into the pizza world and just how God kind of used that value from your father in that world. And you start to do some things that were really guerrilla marketing in a way that no one had ever done before.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it was interesting because, I got into the pizza world. First big job was with Pizza Hut in Wichita, Kansas, and worked there at the headquarters. And what I really learned from my father was that love of people and starting with the who question: who are you serving, and mm-hmm. what do they need, and why do they need it? And I think more than anything I learned in my undergraduate or my MBA, I think more than any of that were those basic rules and basic values from my father. And so I really just put that into practice, doing a lot of research to learn who our customer was and what they were looking for. And that led to a career in innovation. I got a chance to be the creator and leader for Stuffed Crust Pizza and pizzas like Pepperoni Lover.
It's you. It's you.
It was a very fun category. I was in my 20s, and so guys in their 20s eat a lot of pizza, and so yeah. I felt like I knew the target well. So, yeah. it was a lot of fun.
Well, as your career progressed, we talked about your career in the intro, but you had a life-changing event happen while you were training for triathlon. Why don't you tell our listeners and viewers about that?
Yeah, it was. I was very fortunate to have also grown up in a Christian home where I was taught about Jesus, but I think, like a lot of us, I think at least for me, I started a strong head knowledge of the Bible, of my faith, knew that Jesus was my Lord and Savior, knew a lot of scriptures, but it was more of a head knowledge, I think, yeah. up until I was 29 years old. And I don't think that God had gotten a hold of my heart and my hands yet. But more I had a head knowledge of him, which is a start. But when I was 29 years old, working at Pizza Hut, great job working innovation and new products, and my career was advancing well, and things were going well from that perspective. And in my spare time, I got really involved in marathons and then competing in triathlon, and which involves a lot of training. So one morning, and on August 8th, 1991, I was just out on a typical training ride. I was riding, doing bike ride training rides like 5 or 6 days a week, and this was a Thursday. It was about 6 a.m. in the morning, and rode over, had a buddy of mine that met me, and he followed behind me. We were going to go on a kind of typical 30-mile training ride that morning.
Wow.
And went on a ride just going outside of Wichita, Kansas, just south of Wichita. And we picked that ride because there's almost no cars on that road at all. You'd see a car maybe once every minute or two. And so I was riding, and I was in front, and my buddy was right on my back wheel right behind me. And we're probably 6 or 7 miles into the ride, and I'm looking down the road, and typically you'd see cars, and when they did come, they would come towards you, and then, you know, they were in the opposite lane, so they would go right on by. But this was a little different. I was looking down the road and saw the car, and it was going about 50 miles an hour in the opposite direction towards me. And just as it got coming up towards us, for some unknown reason, the car just jerked and jerked right across the center line. Wow. I learned later that the woman driving had just fallen asleep on her way into work in the morning. And so she lost control of the car. It came across the center line, and I tried to jerk my bike and get out of the way, but we hit head on. I was going 20 miles an hour in this direction, and the car was going 50, 55 miles an hour in the opposite direction. So at about a 70 mile per hour impact, we collided and went into the grill and the windshield, and then got caught under the back wheels and drug a little bit before it went over me. So I was they rushed me to the hospital, and About 7.5 hours of trauma surgery later, I learned I'd had multiple fractures, 4 fractures to my left lower leg, a compound fracture to my right leg, 4 fractures to my pelvis, and 4 fractures to my right arm.
Wow.
And but God was in all of that. And as I woke up in recovery and in the 3 weeks of intensive care, three weeks of intensive care that followed, where they're trying to stabilize me, I went into prayer with God like I had never had before. And my hospital room was anything but a peaceful place. There was just doctors and nurses and trauma surgeons coming in and out of my rooms at, 24/7 as they were trying to stabilize me. And so no real sense of peace in the room. But I can remember one night in particular, August 15th, 1991, and where I just was praying to God, and he just got a hold of my heart. Like I still to this day, gave me a peace that he was there with me, walking side by side with me through every step, and gave me a peace that just, as the Bible says, a peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yeah.
Going from that too, going from like that head knowledge to heart knowledge through that terrible accident, which was the first time you told that story, it stayed with me. Just, I could picture, it's just so traumatizing. The fact that your life is almost gone. And then if you did have life, you might be handicapped or crippled in some way. And the fact that you're not, and the fact that you have your whole life, I mean, that just must've been such a gift to you that God was with you in such a strong way. But how did that change then your career? Because after that, you were working for Pizza Still. Like, what happened next? Like, where did you go with that?
Yeah, I'll tell you, God just got a hold of my heart in a way that just softened my heart and lit me up. And so immediately I was probably like all of us when we first learn about what Jesus has done for us and he gets a hold of our heart. I'm trying to live it in every way. I'm reading the Bible like never before. Volunteering for mission trips and volunteer to be a deacon for our church and to lead Bible study groups. Took all the REO Speedwagon and Journey and my car and replaced it with at that time 1991. So Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant. And, I'm just lit up. And it was interesting during that time when I was all lit up and trying to love Jesus every way I could. A mentor got a hold of me, and he said, I watch you and how fired up you are. And he guided me towards reading he said, if you have a red letter edition, just start by reading all the stuff that Jesus did in the Bible, read all the red letter part, all the things that Jesus said. And I did that. I sat down and did exactly what he asked. And I got to about Mark 12, and God really stopped me at Mark 12, verses, I think like 29 to 31. And love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then later in John, I think John 13, 34, 35, a new command I give to you, Jesus says, as I have loved you, love others. And those verses just stopped me, because in there, not only did Jesus say those things, but he says things like, this is the most important commandment. Mm-hmm. Well, he says things like, all the law and the prophets hang on this. And I just underlined that and starred it. And I was like, this is what it's about. And so then I was trying to put that into practice every way I could. I thought that maybe God had saved me from that terrible accident and for a purpose. And I was like, what is that purpose? I mean, he's not, God's not done with me yet. What's he want me to do? Mm-hmm. And I even went and visited seminaries. I visited Dallas Theological Seminary and Denver Seminary, thinking maybe I need to go full-time pastor. And, but at one of those events, I was at Dallas Theological Seminary. And I still, at that point in time, they still thought I might lose my left leg. So I had an exterior fixation device on it, which kind of a halo thing they call it.
Structure. Yeah.
And so walking, kind of dragging this with me, so I couldn't walk very fast. And I was there for the full week, 4 or 5 days at Dallas Theological Seminary, visiting and going to orientation and learning all about DTS. And they're on the campus, and the last day, They said, hey, meet back over in the chapel for a message over there. So I'm walking back over to the Dallas Theological Seminary Chapel, trying to walk as fast as I can, but with that halo on my leg and the weakness from the accident, I was walking very slowly with a cane. And I got back over to the chapel, and sure enough, I walked in and I thought, ah, oh, I'm late. They've already started. All the seats are taken. Oh, this is, maybe I'm just not being called to this. God, what do you want me to do? And I sat in the back. There's a couple tables in the back with some chairs for people who came in late. So I sat back there kind of wondering what this was all about. And about the time an older gentleman sat down next to me. After the person at the front finished the message, the older gentleman said, hey, what are you here for? And I told him my story. And I said, I just don't know why I'm here, what if I'm being called to ministry or not. I work in pizza and I had this accident. I can't believe that I'm supposed to go back and sell pizza. And he heard my story and he introduced himself. And his name was Howard Hendricks, professor there at Dallas Theological Seminary. And he proceeded to tell me, well, maybe it's possible God has you right where he wants you right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe the gifts he's given you are meant to be used to serve people. The pizza business is a very much a people business. Maybe you're meant to serve people right in that business. And I went back and prayed on that and thought about it. And I really tried to put it in practice. And I really started thinking about, you know, Mark 12, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And John 13, 34. And I thought about, how do I express that love to people in the restaurant business? And it is a people business. And yeah, so
absolutely.
I started to really focus on how do I serve my team members, put them first in my life? How do I serve the fellow franchisees and help them to build businesses, help them to help create new products for them that will raise their sales and allow them to hire more people, businesses, be able to put their kids in better schools. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that came out of that was I started receiving letters from franchisees or team members just expressing appreciation for some of the new things that we created for them and the way their businesses grew and the way they're able to live in better neighborhoods, put their kids in better schools. And I've kept those letters. I have four of these files with letters, letters. And it's just, it was God's way of giving me peace that he wasn't done with me yet, that there was something else out there that he had for me to serve and love others.
That's so amazing, Ken. And then that dovetailed into what you're doing now, because you realized what your mission was to serve and love people. And so tell us about what you're doing now.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the question. Yeah, I'm the CEO of Come Near. Mm-hmm. And Come Near is an organization that is probably best known for He Gets Us, which is, you may have seen in the Super Bowl or the Olympics, which is our mission, is that we're inviting all people one step closer to the authentic Jesus from wherever they are.
No, that's so cool. And I know that, you know, that's a hard thing to do because a lot of people have opinions on how we should do that. And you guys are not trying to cater towards a local church's expression of that. You're trying to look at the more general, like how does a person who's unchurched, who's never been to a church and may not ever go to a church, how do they meet Jesus? And I think that's so interesting. Like being with your team at different times at some of the events, like I went to Rose Bowl several times with the He Gets Us team and the Draw Near team. And I was so impressed by the heart behind what you guys are doing. And I think, like, tell us about the heart.
Yeah. Well, the heart comes from a founding donor who really saw the Barna statistics that we've all seen where, you know, fewer and fewer people are claiming to be a Jesus follower or a Christian. And that those statistics, it's been falling off for some time. And at the very same time as that, we're seeing statistics in the U.S. of fast increasing levels of divisiveness, anxiety, fear, loneliness. And this founding donor believed that there was a real correlation between those two, that in fact, if more people know Jesus and follow Jesus, that's more the root cause issue to a lot of these other issues that people are facing. And so how do we, their heart really was, how do we raise the interest level, the curiosity, the respect and relevance of Jesus for people across the country and really impact culture in that way?
Well, I had read some Pew research and some Barna research too recently, just from this year, that Generation Z, they're actually really interested in Jesus, just not religion. And they're really spiritual and they're wanting to know more. So it's awesome that you guys, at the same time that there's this generation that's interested, but they probably wouldn't go to church, but they want to find out about Jesus. There's a disconnect. And so I think it's really awesome you guys are being raised up with quite a budget to be able to reach out through these kinds of events and create a conversation. And so tell us how that's going. How is that conversation taking place between you and these people who engage then and go, wait, what does he get us? What is this? I just saw this ad, or I saw this at a sporting event. What's the next step for people?
No, it's gone really well. God's really blessed it in so many ways. What we've tried to do is really provide, we know that, you know, these statistics have been going on for a while. So we're trying to create experiences, personalized experiences and disruptive experiences that really reveal the authentic Jesus to people. And so we want to appear in unexpected places, unexpected ways, at unexpected times, with, in some cases, maybe an unexpected message and done in a creative way that people have not done before. We know the church has an important work to do, and we're not the church. We're trying to complement or support the church by reaching what we call a spiritually open-minded skeptics and reaching them in these unexpected ways and taking them on personalized experiences or journeys that hopefully help them to become more open to Jesus, more curious about him, and wanting to kind of lean in and learn more about him.
Have you had much feedback? Are people reaching out to you? And have you had much traffic on your website?
Yeah, it's been incredible. We particularly saw it in the early testing, but particularly when we did our first Super Bowl in February of 2023, the response was unbelievable. Our Super Bowl ended up being one of the most watched and talked about ads, and almost overnight, we drove over 5.7 million people to our website, which, you know, 5.7 million skeptics, people kind of who didn't know Jesus or are curious about him, leaning in and going, tell me more about who this Jesus is. Another statistic I tell you is we've hit levels as high as over 67% of the country aware of the He Gets Us ad. And you know, we've only been around a little less, right about 3 years. And so I've worked on a lot of brands in my past and in the pizza world and the hamburger world. And boy, over 67% of the country being aware of something that was just created a little less than 3 years ago. That's
miraculous. Yeah, it's totally miraculous. Well, I love how God used your past experience and just your heart to serve people and love people and took those values and saved your life and brought you into something like this. I know you've just become the CEO just in the last year. And I think it's just so phenomenal that you have this background to be able to walk an organization through something like this, where it's like, we're going to do something that no one else is doing. And we're going to do it in a way that no one else has thought of. We're going to be creative and outside the box of how the church is normally does evangelism, because we're going for even a group of people that the church can't even directly connect to or directly target. And I think we're cheerleaders for it. We're here for it. We believe in you. We believe in this. And this is so good, Ken.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, you can go to hegetsus.com and get all the information on He Gets Us campaign and everything they're doing. But Ken, we want people to go to your website. We want people to even just know who you are through this. But we're so excited about what you're doing. We want to hear from you, our audience. So make sure to leave a comment on this video, leave a review on our podcast, hit the subscribe button and notifications so you get each and every podcast or video that comes out from Exploring the Marketplace. And we'll see you next time.